What's the solution to the edge of madness? The solution, I guess I'll title this the solution. The solution is you better get saved. Learn about two or three trades that you're good at. Find something you enjoy doing. Ephesians says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather labor with his hands the thing which is good, in order to give to him that needeth. Always try to store up and prepare, not to help, not just to help yourself, but to help other people if they're in need. Now, how do you know if somebody's really in need, or they're just destroying their own self or whatever? That's the question right there. How do you know who's really in need and who's just a con artist, you know? That's the question of the hour. You see it in real life, you see it online, you see it all over the place. And in the verse right after that, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, right? So it's all about what? Managing your own ship as wisely as you can, in faith, by the grace of God, with strength. Take care of your health. Take care of your mental. And if you have opportunity to help other people, the biggest way to help them is give them the good news that Jesus saves. If they need some food and water, even your enemy. If your enemy needs food and water, give them food and water. You might say, how do you give your enemy food and water? Easy. They're just deceived by the devil. Jesus said, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. They're deceived. The devil's messing with people. And the devil's using flesh creatures to mess with people. That he can take captive at will. I took, let's see, July, August, September, October, November, December. I've taken 6 months off of my side gig stuff just to have a change of perspective, you know. But it's going to warm up next week, so I think I'm ready to get back into it. And I'm going to go into it with the mindset of, if I can get out of debt, somebody needs some help, I can help them. You know, I'm already helping a couple people, but only one of them says thank you. The other one says kiss my behind, you know. It's like, it's sad. You can help some people and they don't even say thank you. Some people you help, they say thank you. They're appreciative. But it's not even about that. Those people will reap what they sow, you know. If a person is not thankful, see the word thank, T-H-A-N-K, goes back to T-H-I-N-K, and I decoded that. And so when you're thankful, what are you really thankful for? You think back to the cross. You think back to the cross. You're thankful for what Jesus did at the cross. So if a person's not thankful, they definitely are not thinking about Jesus and what he did on the cross, because if they were thankful, they'd be if they were really thankful, they'd be humble and tell everybody else thank you if somebody helped them, even if they didn't need anything. If somebody opens the door for me, let's say I'm carrying a couple boxes, and I could grab the door and open it, but if they open the door, I'll say thank you. Thank you for your service at a restaurant. A person who's not thankful is really, bad news bears. When you're unthankful, you're not thinking about the cross. It's all by the grace of God. And like I said, some of these people, they always have they have two or three backup plans. You know, they can run to their mom or their daddy or their cousin or whatever. And you might not have a backup plan. And so that's okay. God is your backup plan. And they'll find out one day their backup plans will fail. They will fail. So whoever's out there that doesn't have a backup plan, well, Jesus is your backup plan. Run to Jesus and see what happens. You can always join a church and that'll be some help, but at the same time, you get involved with the wrong church, a legalistic church, and they want you to sacrifice your time and all so they can just be high on the hog, you know. It's awful funny. The people say, the people in church say they love you. And if you change churches, you never hear from them again. I thought we were friends. I thought we were family. What happened? You're not building up their system, see? You're not building up their system. And society's pushed it to where they want the corporation to be your family. That's how far they pushed this thing. But you have to look at the other people who are in the corporations. They've worked themselves to death, and all they know is work. And so the other people in these corporations, they're being pushed. This is your family too. But you don't even line up with the same faith. Same belief system. So how can they be family? But the corporate system, the dead corporate system, has become a cult. But that's all right. You see through it. As long as you see through it, that's the secret. And one way you can beat the corporate system is you take a lunch and you get away from the business. Let's say you've been there 4 hours. Even if you don't, just go outside and eat your sandwich on a bench. Or go down the street and just sit in the park for 30 minutes. You have to break the mind games. You're being brainwashed by the music, the TV, the media, the corporate system. You have to get away for 30 minutes. Keep your Bible in the car. If you don't want to spend money at lunch, keep your Bible in the car, go sit in your car. The only way I lasted in the corporate dead system is I always take a lunch. If I work through lunch because it's so busy, then so be it. But 98% of the time I take a lunch. You've got to get away from the mind games of the devil system, and it is a devil system. You ain't gonna make it if you don't take a break and read that Bible. Got to read it. Because the Bible is compiled together. And it's a living word. And it's outside of space and time. And when you read it, you'll read verses like Ecclesiastes 1:9, I think. What has been shall be, what shall be has been. There's nothing new under the sun. And you'll say, you'll have a eureka moment. So what I'm doing, somebody else has already done. There's nothing new. How did they overcome? The solution is seeing the flesh mind and overcoming it. Seeing the lies, overcoming it. Seeing the MK altar, overcoming it. You can't change the devil system. And the devil can't even change his system. He's just doing it in an anti-way. God's in ultimate control. So he controls the king's heart. The kings of the earth, God controls. And you look at these fires over there in California, you know, you don't know if that was divine judgment or if that was a military thing. It looks like it's the same military thing, you know? It looks like they're creating disasters to rebuild because they're trying to save the economy. I mean, in a way, if the government has to sacrifice, it's all a sacrificial redemptive system. If the government has to sacrifice property instead of going to war and sacrificing human life, in a way, we're all part of the system. You know, sometimes there's sacrifice. I'm not saying they're right. I'm not saying it's right at all. But the debt is just cranking up, and there's going to be a lot of sacrifices. I don't care where it's at. The North Carolina mountains, Hawaii, California. There's going to be some stuff being sacrificed because you can't be that far in debt without a sacrifice. Somebody's got to pay. And you know it's not going to be the rich paying. It's going to be the poor man paying. I'm not saying it's right, but expect it to keep happening because the debt is so great. We're either going to go to war, and we already have a proxy war, so we're either going to go to real war and not even be a proxy war, or they're going to keep destroying stuff to rebuild it. Death, resurrection, death, resurrection, death, resurrection. The only way Walmart got so big is because they took out insurance policies on the people. So the man goes down the road and gets in a car wreck, dies. Walmart gets $10 million, and his wife don't get jack. She don't get nothing. They didn't even know they had an insurance policy on. Then the truth finally came out. They had an insurance policy on you. I'm almost to the point now where I think the two part-time jobs is better than a full-time because there's really no skin in the game. And they probably can't take an insurance policy out on you without you knowing it if you're doing part-time. If you look at marriage from a perspective of the world and you look and you zoom out, and you look at all why the rich people get married. One rich family marries into another rich family. And it stays in the bloodline, right? And so, and you see countries back, one country would marry into another, a leader in another one country, marry a leader in another country. You saw Solomon, Bathsheba. I mean, not Bathsheba, but you saw Solomon and what was her name? The lady that came from the Egypt or somewhere from the south. I forget the queen. But anyway, you see that they see marriage as most of the world sees it as a business arrangement. That's the way people look at it. It's not based on love and loyalty and dependability, and it's all about business, you know. And when you break it all down, you'll see that almost everything you do is about business down here. I just saw a camper vans. It said something river and something. And I was just talking to AI about the cut, turn, union flow and the river flow. Everything flows. There's a tag on the back of this car. It says Zen-ish. Zen-ish. I guess she's saying she's a Zen-ish person, into the Zen mode, you know. When you study all these different religions and belief systems and cults and isms and doctrines and all that, it gives you a well-rounded view of what's going on in this world. I would say study your Bible first and get good at the Bible before you study all these other, because it'll mess you up if you don't have the Bible as your ultimate source, foundational truth. And so the solution is Do unto others as you have them do unto you. Love your neighbors yourself. If your enemy needs water and bread, give them some water and bread. Love your neighbors yourself. Keep short accounts. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Try to get out of debt. Don't be like the government. Because if you're out of debt and all Hades breaks loose, then you're not really worried about it too much because you already paid everything off. If you got somebody who's dependable and faithful that wants to yoke up with you, that they'll be dependable, do it. If you got somebody in your life that's causing chaos and drama and trouble, get them out of your life. If you can't get them out of your life, treat it. Give them the gray rock method. Just do the gray rock. Don't respond. Don't give them any attention. Don't give any attention to the vampires, the psychic vampires. Don't be mad. Don't judge. Don't scream. Don't yell. Don't pay back evil for evil. Just find you something you enjoy doing and do it. A hobby. The good thing, if you get a hobby that kind of makes a little bit of cash or plans for the future, that's good. That's a good hobby. Go sit outside and just watch the birds. They don't toil. The birds don't have to work. They might have to build them a nest, but it didn't cost them anything. Except for a little bit of labor. They don't work. They don't have taxes. Create you a system that, try to create you a system that pays for itself, you know? It's hard to get there, but keep trying. If you never get there, at least you tried. Think about it. Let's say you die. And you never tried and you didn't get any kind of goal accomplished. And you just die. And you look back and you say, I wish I would have tried. I wish I would have done this. Now, and then think about it this way. You tried, you struggled, you did your best, you tried to get there, and you didn't make it and you die. At least you say, I tried. I gave it my best shot. And let's say you try and you get there. Let's say you accomplish it. And then you're on your deathbed, you die, and you say, I did it. I got there. I got there, and 6 months later, I died. You know, but at least you got there. It gave you something to do. It's better to set a goal and get up and try something than not try. Yeah, you're going to have resistance. Yeah, the devil's going to come after you. Yeah, people are going to try to mess you up and throw an obstacle and everything under the sun. Yeah, we already know the game. We already know the game. Been there, done that, bought that t-shirt. I did a U-turn to see somebody made their yard a little bit fancy with some landscape timbers, and then they put a piece of flatwood on top. It looks pretty good. They lined their driveway with it. It looks pretty good. I mean, that's a good idea. I hadn't really thought about that. And then if that ain't good enough for you, what I just said, treat it like a simulation. And if it's a simulation, try to control the simulation. Try to manipulate the simulation. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? As long as you put God first and you don't want to hurt nobody. Try to treat it like a simulation. I got to that point for a while, but now I still see it as a simulation, but I don't try to manipulate it anymore because already know the cycles. It's all deja vu. You already know what's going to happen before it happens. When you really do the deep study, you already know. Let's say you're dealing with somebody and they follow a certain pattern that you saw your uncles, your aunts, or your cousins, or somebody doing, and you saw that they were a lot older than you, and you saw the end result. You saw how they ended up. And you're seeing that person, let's say that person's 20, 30 years younger than those people that are already dead and gone. You saw them doing the same stuff that they did. You know what's going to happen. You talk to them, they have the same mindset, the same outlook. You already know what's going to happen. Everything is a deja vu. Let me tell you this. I know this is hard to believe, but it's really easy. Everything has to be deja vu. You've already seen it before. I gave you the verse, that which has been shall be, and what shall be has been, Ecclesiastes 1:9. And nothing new under the sun. And if it wasn't a deja vu, you wouldn't know how to tie your shoes. Every day you would have to relearn how to tie your shoes. If you went to work, you wouldn't know how to do your job. Every day you'd have to relearn your job. The fact that you get a skill means it's all a deja vu, because the next day, what happens if reality shifted and the skill you learned is no longer needed? So if you're saved and you know your Bible, you know all things in the 3D. In the 5D, you pretty much know that it's a worship service as well. Revelation 4 and 5, it's just a worship service. So if anybody tries to confuse you and pull you into delusions or crazy talk, just tell them what the Bible says, and they'll leave you alone. They'll always come back, but they'll leave you alone for a season.